H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump's big, beautiful bill agenda is facing opposition from his own party, Democrats, and now Elon Musk.
Having already called the bill a disgusting abomination, Elon Musk is now urging Americans to call their members of Congress to kill it. He writes, "We need a new bill that doesn't grow the deficit." House Speaker Mike Johnson tells reporters,
"We don't have time for a brand new bill."
Johnson argues Congress must act to prevent the 2017 tax cuts from expiring. The White House rejects the Congressional Budget Office's view that those tax cuts would be a major driver of future deficits.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. The suspect charged in the Boulder firebombing attack at a Jewish rally is due back in court tomorrow to face more charges. Authorities say the number of victims has increased to 15. A Washington state man is accused of being a co-conspirator in the Palm Springs car bombing outside a fertility clinic. Federal prosecutors say Daniel Park allegedly provided material support to primary suspect Guy Bartkus in the car bombing. Bartkus died in that blast. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has reported over 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested during the spring hunting season. According to preliminary data from the agency, the statewide hunter success rate was about 22%, with nearly 230,000 turkey authorizations sold. The mark also represents the fifth time the state crossed the 50,000 turkey mark since the agency began managing the hunt in 1983, and officials expect it to be one of the highest spring turkey harvests of any state in the country. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is warning residents of another phishing scam circulating the area. According to a press release, DMV officials have been getting calls from residents claiming they received messages with final notice warnings or unpaid traffic violations. They say departments in other states have seen the scam in recent weeks, and they believe Wisconsin residents are the next target. DMV officials are reminding residents to be suspicious of unsolicited text messages appearing to be from the agency. A Hayward man has been charged after a traffic stop allegedly led to the recovery of nearly 500 grams of methamphetamine. According to court documents, 44-year-old Jeffrey Snyder was charged in Barron County Circuit Court with felony possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine and four misdemeanors. Authorities say a Flock camera flagged Snyder's car before they initiated a traffic stop last week, and a K-9 unit alerted them to the potential presence of narcotics. He's facing up to 40 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. A Dallas man accused of making terrorist threats directed at staffers from the Veterans Administration Center in Rice Lake has entered not guilty pleas to the charges. According to court documents, 39-year-old Jonathan B. West was charged with one felony count of making terrorist threats and misdemeanor charges of unlawful phone use, threatening harm, and disorderly conduct. West entered the not guilty pleas in court on Friday, and a jury trial was scheduled for October. He's facing up to 3.5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine if convicted. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Milwaukee Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee defeated Cincinnati 9-1 today to take 2 of 3 games in the series. Jackson Churio had 3 hits, including a 2-run home run to help spark the Brewers' offense. 3 Brewers pitchers combined to allow just 4 hits and 1 run, with Quinn Priester getting the victory. It's the 9th win for the Brewers in their past 10 games. Milwaukee heads back home to play the San Diego Padres starting on Friday. With a 21-5 victory today over Messiah, UW-Whitewater clinched the Division III College Baseball Championship. It's the Warhawks' 3rd title and first since 2014. Coach John Vodenlich said the Warhawks have had a potent offense all season.
This is who they are. This is a good reflection of what they've done many times. Once again, not on this type of stage, but I've seen that happen a lot.
Whitewater allowed just 19 runs in 5 games at the College World Series, putting up 20 runs of their own in the clinching game. The Warhawks finished the season at 49-6, with all 6 losses coming against fellow WIAC teams. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are going to have a little more of that Canadian wildfire smoke in the air into this afternoon, but it's actually going to get better here later today and into later this week. Sunny this afternoon, 78 the high tonight, partly cloudy, 47 tomorrow. Sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic.
The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
President Trump is unhappy with the organization that helped him pick his Supreme Court justices. Jim Santel will be here to break that down. We'll lighten it up in hour number two with some weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed, and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy hump day to you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you've been tuning in, you know that we are in the midst of week one of Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win giveaway, where you can win $100, Brewers tickets, and all kinds of cool grand prizes like getaway weekends to the Wisconsin Dells and Door County. We even pay for your gas, which Donald Trump hasn't made any cheaper since January 21st. Anywho, to qualify to win this hour, I'm going to be dropping a keyword to win on you all shortly. I'm not going to tell you exactly when, but very shortly. And then you're going to text that keyword to win in using the Civic Media app. Not the old way with your phone. No, go get that app for free wherever you get your apps from. And text in the keyword to win. We'll get you registered to win one of the prizes we're giving away this hour, and you will be registered to win the grand prize, which we will give away after this 2 weeks of the Scotty Summer giveaway. And with that, I've got such a great show for everyone this afternoon. I'm super excited about it because I get to talk with fellow nerds, and I love having nerds on this show. I say that with love and respect because I consider myself to be one. Let me give you the rundown. We're going to start by talking about what the impact of Donald Trump's tariff terror means for Wisconsin agriculture. And I've got just the guy to do it with. Then at 4:30, I will be joined for broad appeal because women, broads, again, respectfully and lovingly, make everything better, especially as candidates and elected officials. I'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Leah Hibble, who sits on the Stoughton School Board. She's also a licensed clinical therapist and addresses kids' trauma and PTSD. Can't wait to talk to the ladies. And to round off the show, we are very lucky to be joined by former ambassador to Angola, Cynthia Efford. She has served a storied career in foreign service for nearly 40 years. And so you will be able to answer, why does the U.S. State Department matter to me and my family after today's show? But let me introduce my first guest. His name is Chuck Nicholson. He is an economist, specifically an agricultural economist, and the most interesting guest I just know it to help us understand how tariffs will be impacting Wisconsin dairy farmers. Welcome to the show, Chuck. Let's have some fun, shall we?
Sounds great. Thanks for the invitation to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. Let's start big picture, right? Canada and Mexico and China are the United States' three biggest trading partners. Agriculture and the dairy industry are core to Wisconsin's economy. So how is this going to be impacting the Wisconsin economy if the tariffs, what they are today, might not be what they are tomorrow? But overall, we've got a higher tariff level, a frankly historic tariff level, specifically targeted at Mexico, Canada, and China. Those aren't going anywhere fast. So what's the impacts here? How is this working for dairy farmers and farmers in Wisconsin?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that we got to keep in mind is there are a ton of moving pieces here, and therefore different kinds of effects that we got to think about. And one of the things that's also behind all this is there's a great deal of uncertainty, and nobody, and I think about this from the perspective of dairy supply chains. So we got to think about not just farms, which are, you know, vitally important here in Wisconsin, but folks who are selling inputs to those farms, the folks who are buying the farm milk and turning it into great Wisconsin cheese and other products, all the way through the folks at the retail stores and the ultimate consumers. So we got a lot of different players that we got to think about and a lot of different moving pieces. So maybe we can break it down by saying the bottom line message is if you are a big exporter, you do not want countries putting tariffs on your products because that raises the cost of your products in those markets. You're going to sell less. And for the dairy industry specifically, the main source of growth in the past 10 to 15 years, both in Wisconsin, I would say, as well as for the U.S. as a whole, has been the expansion of our role in export markets. And as you mentioned, our top three trading partners generally, but also for dairy products, are Mexico, Canada, and China. So sort of picking fights with those folks and having retaliatory tariffs put on is going to make it harder for us to sell products both in the short term, but also it's key to think about the fact that trading relationships are developed over a long period of time. It's not just sort of, well, economists tend to think about these anonymous buyers and sellers and nobody really knows each other.
Well, and the rational actor, of course, let's not forget that gentleman.
Yes, well, I have
or
a lot
lady,
of,
I should say.
I have a lot of issues with the rational actor idea, but we can set that aside for the moment. But companies deal with companies. Supply chains deal with supply chains. And so they are thinking about long-term relationships because that's in their best interest. They want to make sure they got the right product at the right price at the right place, all those kinds of things. But a lot of it comes down to relationship management between companies. And tariffs are a big rock in the pond for that whole relationship management story, because suddenly I'm not sure if you're going to be a good seller to me, United States, because I'm not sure what it's going to cost me to get your products in here and sell them to the people in my own country. Okay? So we can apply this more generally to agriculture, because anytime we put tariffs on things and countries retaliate, if we're trying to sell those products in those markets and they're more expensive, it's going to be a harder sell for us to make those products move. And so it's not just dairy, but you know, soybeans would be another thing. A major trading partner for soybeans is China. Take about 50% of our soybean exports. 100% tariff on that basically is a really challenging deal, right?
Challenging, so, if not downright existential for some farmers, would you say?
Well, basically, at that kind of tariff level, we're not going to sell soybeans to China except maybe through some kind of third party, you know, working out a deal kind of a thing.
So, frankly, manipulations to get around the tariffs, which market actors will engage in when it's at this level, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, the fancy term we use is arbitrage. Mm-hmm. Like, so I can sell to somebody else and then they sell to China. Maybe that works out. But generally, you're going to end up with higher costs when you do that. Not very efficient. Breaks down those trading relationships. And there's actually a study on soybeans that came out from some folks at the University of Illinois. I'm from UW, but I'll even mention Illinois guys. I guess that's okay. and they actually looked at the long-term effects of the soybean tariff policies that we had in place during the first Trump administration. And basically what they concluded was there was sort of a long-term negative effect even after those policies went away. And that is kind of the basic storyline when we think about our role as an exporter and how current tariff policies and the uncertainty that goes with it is not a helpful thing. Right? So that's the one side where we put tariffs and other folks retaliate and it's harder for us to sell. The other part is we put tariffs and things like farm equipment. Other inputs become more expensive for dairy farmers and other farmers in Wisconsin. We can say the same thing for the other parts of the supply chain. Dairy processors have to buy inputs and invest in equipment and plant that is important and expensive. Some of that is imported. We had recently the imposition of the steel and aluminum tariffs that can affect food manufacturers broadly. There's an expectation that that will raise food prices kind of across the board for things that go in those kinds of packaging. So
I don't mean this lightly. I'm literally wearing a Brewers t-shirt today, not only because I love baseball, but I also love beer and breweries that use these massive steel tanks to make their beer. It is going to get much more expensive. So I have heard, I know the guys that own Lakefront Brewery, they've been telling me like, hey, the guys and gals that they're talking to across the industry, expansions, nope, not happening right now because they don't want to pay 50% more to expand. Can you talk to us a little bit more, Chuck, about these long-term impacts? Why do you see such a drag? And we can use the soybean example from Trump 1. Why do you see this? Is it simply because purchasers go elsewhere? And once those new relationships with a producer of soybeans or dairy products or beer in Wisconsin, once they find their product elsewhere, they build that relationship, they're not going to then change back because that has transactional costs to flip suppliers yet again.
Yeah, you've got the basic idea right down the middle of the plate, if you pardon my baseball analogy. Although
we do a lot of baseball here, Chuck. Okay. Baseball, definitely welcome sports analogies to understand econ, yes.
Okay, so I'm at UW, but I got to admit I'm originally from San Diego, and I got only one sports team, and it's a baseball team, the Padres, and they're actually doing pretty well. So
they are doing that's my plug. And I've seen your guys play in their stadium, beautiful stadium.
Beautiful stadium, yep, can't beat it. Anyway, so yes, you got the basic idea down there. So if I'm a guy working in a supply chain, whether it's dairy or soybeans or anything else, I usually have some person whose job it is to do what we call sourcing, right? And that's figuring out where am I going to get the product that I need, okay? We actually train people, particularly in business schools, to actually take on this kind of role. Well, the decision-making process that those sourcing people go through is based on a lot of different factors, but one key thing is it costs money to explore all these different options and to set up these working relationships and to sign the kind of contracts that you want to have. And so you want to do that once and then make it stick for a long time. And more in supply chains, folks are trying to have more like these strategic partnerships where it's not just I'm buying stuff from you, but we jointly think about how we're going to develop the market, and we jointly think about the processing capacity that we need, and we think about the import capacity that we need and the product development that we're going to do, right? Those more intimate relationships really get disrupted when you have these kinds of uncertainties and when you have these kinds of cost changes. And so one of the reasons for those long-term effects is that once you figured out a new option that's not the U.S., you're going to want to try and stick with that because it's costly to figure out how to go back to having the U.S. unless there is no other place that you can get the products that you need. And that generally tends not to be the case for dairy products specifically. We have a lot of products that are roughly interchangeable. You might think of them as more like commodities. Specialty cheese in Wisconsin is a different deal, but right, a lot of stuff, like if we're selling whey powder, a lot of whey powder is meat and speck, and that's what it's meant to do. Yep. Soybeans, same kind of deal. Brazil has come on as a major supplier of soybeans. If I can get them from them and I've got a lot less uncertainty, a lot less hassle, a lot less cost, I'm going to work that relationship as much as I can. So the short-term effects definitely on these prices and disruption of even transportation networks that are necessary to make all this stuff happen. People are, if they're uncertain about how much trade is going to be going back to China, they may not send as many container ships out to get to this side and have the backhaul, which is actually something that dairy benefits from in terms of the costs.
We're going to pick up our conversation with Dr. Chuck Nicholson of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Dairy Innovation Hub. He's an agricultural economist, breaking it all down for us. because we do love our milk and cheese here, but we sell a lot of it abroad, and these tariffs aren't helping any farmers in Wisconsin. We're going to talk about labor shortages and the cuts to SNAP and how that is doubling down on the pain our family farmers are feeling. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Rockfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest with us this half hour. His name is Dr. Chuck Nicholson. He is an agricultural economist with the UW-Madison Dairy Innovation Hub. I've been reading some of your nerdy papers, Chuck, and it is good fun. You're helping me scratch my nerd itch this Wednesday. So thank you for that. I will be reading more of Chuck's work. You can check it out. Just Google UW-Madison Dairy Innovation Hub. But let us translate, make it a little simpler for folks so they don't have to parse the econ lingo. And yes, everybody, yes, it is Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. The keyword this hour is sun, S-U-N. That is sun as in, boy, ain't it great to see the sun. I wish there was less wildfires because of all this pesky climate change clogging up my beautiful sun, S-U-N. You're going to want to text that in, not via the normal boring way. You got to text it in using the Civic Media app. You can get that app for free wherever you get your apps from. And for all of you people who somehow knew what the word was before I gave it, shame on you. Shame on you. We might even call you shirking. I don't know. There's some economics term for cheating that sounds much more interesting than cheating. Arbitrage, shirking behaviors. We've got words for everything that make no sense to regular people. But to help, again, to break it down, we got Dr. Nicholson. Thanks so much for sticking around, Chuck. Let's talk about the labor market and sort of like the 1-2 punch that is affecting the agricultural industry, specifically farmers and dairy farmers here in Wisconsin. Not only do you have this chaos, this uncertainty, this much higher expense, much lower appetite from the people that we sell our dairy products to buy them because it is reciprocal tariffs, hence a trade war is what it's called. We have that punch, and we have this 1-2 punch coming from the Trump administration. Frankly, looking at worker shortages this summer, potentially, we're looking at these massive cuts to the supplemental nutritional and food assistance program, or emergency food assistance, SNAP, where farmers in Door County and in every county in Wisconsin where there are farmers would sell directly into places that were providing school lunches. Those programs are being gutted. Is this really kind of a perfect storm that Donald Trump has created for farmers?
So we have the possibility you mentioned of lower prices because we can't sell as much of our product outside of the U.S. We have the, and actually through the supplemental nutrition assistance programs, we actually sell a fair amount of dairy products through those kinds of food nutrition programs, including the school lunch and school breakfast programs focused primarily on, you know, school-age kids. And then we have the possibility of increased costs for equipment and some other inputs. And then we also have the possibility of both labor shortages and then higher wage costs related to immigration policy. So if you kind of put that together, the package is not a sort of a rosy picture. In any situation that you can think of, we may have lower prices, we may have higher input costs. Those are things that have a direct impact on the margins for dairy farmers and other farmers in the state. And actually, we could say the same thing related to higher input costs and lower market prices for dairy processors, the folks who bake cheese and put it in the packages and take it to the grocery store or take it to your local pizza restaurant. So the combination of these things is not working favorably. And I guess one of the things that I kind of like to point out to people is that the policies that we have in place are really more kind of collateral damage when we think about what's going on with agriculture. They're not designed to address problems in agriculture really specifically. They're not designed to help policies in agriculture. They're designed to affect kind of these bigger macro and global politics type power type issues. And so agriculture is not kind of in the driver's seat when it comes to thinking about how they're going to be affected by the various policies that are being discussed right now. Tariffs have been the most visible one. Labor tends to be a little bit harder thing to get a handle on, but to help put it in perspective, labor is often about a third, 25% to a third of the cost of milk production on a dairy farm in Wisconsin and in other places, and that is particularly true for the larger farms where a lot of that labor is hired, and a lot of that labor is immigrant labor. And so the uncertainty that surrounds that, it gets a lot less press maybe. Folks that I've talked to in the industry from various organizations tend to view the labor issue actually as kind of a more potentially important challenge that they're going to face here going forward, in part because it's really highly uncertain exactly what's happening right at the moment. But you can imagine also the uncertainty about, am I going to be taken off the farm, involuntarily?
Yes.
Maybe I do it voluntarily myself before that happens, right? So the uncertainty that's associated with the decision-making for labor on the farms is also pretty important here.
It's, Chuck, I recently traveled to Toronto. They have a big agricultural industry outside of Toronto, lots of wine, boy, do they treat their immigrant labor that is essential to their local economy and their agricultural economy differently there. It was shocking. People actually really, really, really want to stay and work. Anyways, we could do so much on this. Chuck, I hope you'll come back, and maybe the next time we talk, we'll do sort of a much more macro, big picture look at how the agricultural economy works, because I think there are a lot of misunderstandings for regular folks, including subsidies and pricing, and how does all of this come together? But thank you for your time this afternoon, sir, making us all a little smarter. That's Dr. Chuck Nicholson, professor of agricultural economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's with the UWM-Madison, that is Dairy Innovation Hub. Chuck, thank you, sir.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here with you. Thanks a lot.
Folks, when we come back, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and a woman who sits on the Stoughton School Board for today's installment of Broad Appeal. Women, yes, have broad appeal and always make it better, especially as candidates and elected officials. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing gun control legislation after Republican lawmakers on the Joint Committee on Finance removed the measures from Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget proposal. The legislation is currently being circulated for co-sponsorship and included measures to expand background checks, institute red flag laws, and create a mandatory 48-hour waiting period to purchase a handgun. Democratic lawmakers say the proposal is meant to save lives, while Assembly Speaker Robin Voss referred to it as overreaching restrictions. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources officials are sharing safety tips for residents as Canadian wildfires cause air quality issues across the state. Residents are reminded to stay inside as often as they can to limit their exposure, especially if they fall into a sensitive group like children, the elderly, or people with respiratory issues. If you do need to go outside, you should keep an eye on any shortness of breath or coughing. Residents who have respiratory issues like asthma could also consider using their inhaler before heading out. The City of Rice Lake's oil recycling station on Allen Street officially closed on Tuesday after 45 years of operation. City officials say they made the decision to close the site because they were unable to continuously monitor it after it moved to Allen Street. Residents from outside Barron County often used the oil recycling station, but also often spilled some of their oil or deposited chemicals they should not have been depositing. Area residents who need to recycle their oil should now do so at the County Waste Oil and Antifreeze Collection Facility in Barron. Health officials say two new cases of measles have been confirmed near the Minnesota and Wisconsin border. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, the cases are unrelated to each other but raise concerns about potential exposure in the area. One case originated in Washington County near the state border, and health officials say that individual was likely exposed on a domestic flight. The other case involved a child at the Mall of America, and health officials are warning anyone who is at the mall on May 24th to look out for possible symptoms. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The King of the Hill actor who provided the voice for character John Redcorn has been killed in a shooting. TMZ reports that Jonathan Joss was found at the side of a road, shot several times. First responders tried life-saving measures, but pronounced him dead at the scene. Sources say Joss was shot by a neighbor after a disagreement. Police did track down the shooter within a few minutes. Joss played Redcorn from season 2 to season 13 of the hit animated show. Jonathan Joss was 59 years old. The Penguin's secret crush is no longer a secret. Danny DeVito had a good old-fashioned showbiz crush on Catwoman. The Twins star said when he was in Batman Returns, he had the hots for co-star Michelle Pfeiffer. DeVito sat down with Colin Farrell, also known for his role as the Penguin, on Variety's Actors on Actors podcast, where the two traded Batman stories. DeVito said Pfeiffer was his secret crush. DeVito says he lusted after her and loved her. Lucky girl. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are going to have a little more of that Canadian wildfire smoke in the air into this afternoon, but it's actually going to get better here later today and into later this week. Sunny this afternoon, 78 the high tonight, partly cloudy, 47 tomorrow. Sunshine with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based stand-up comedian Brian Hicks and Civic Media-based talk show host Todd Alba, who will take a Nightlight quiz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Woman. Today, three great women for today's installment of Broad Appeal, because cool broads running for office, winning office, and talking politics is always appealing. I use that word with love and respect. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 4:30. It is Hump Day Wednesday, and that means it is time for Broad Appeal. Before I introduce my fabulous guest and co-host, a wee bit of business. It is Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. If you want to go somewhere for fun, for free on Civic's dime, even including gas money, we've got you covered. The word to win and to be registered to win one of our two grand prizes, getaways to Wisconsin Dells and Door County, this hour is sun, S-U-N, as in be sure to wear your sunscreen when riding your bike around the Green Bay area, because it's bike week, which is what my co-host today, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, was doing before she hopped on the air. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Lyerly.
Gonna soak up the sun. Let's go.
Right? Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love hanging out with you, Maggie, because you're so smart, and you just boil these complicated things down into really understandable bite-sized pieces that we can then consume and share back out into the world. And wonderful, beautiful people like our other guest, Leah Hibble.
Guest Leah Hibble. She sits on the Stoughton School Board. She is also a licensed clinical therapist focusing on trauma care for kids. I cannot imagine a better woman and women to be talking to as the state is debating our biennial budget and considering not giving public schools what they need, which trickles down to all of our kids and their mental health needs, as well as these dastardly cuts coming out of Washington, D.C. It's all bad, 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 bad. We're going to talk about that amongst some other things. Welcome to the show, Leah. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. And one correction that I want to make.
Please.
I am here representing the great city of Sheboygan, the Sheboygan Area School District. It's where I got my own education. I went to that district from grades kindergarten through 12. My grandmother worked for the district for 36.
Oh, did we just lose Leah? I think we did. Kristen, did we lose her? Or are you hearing her?
I can't hear her either.
Leah, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the number. Give us a call, okay? I'm putting it in the chat right here. Give us a buzz, and we'll pick you up on the phones. That'll be a little bit easier. Well, first of all, I get to correct myself, which is always a good thing to do. Sheboygan, I was getting my fabulous S cities in Wisconsin confused. She's on the Sheboygan School Board. Dr. Lyerly, let's just talk a little bit about kids' mental health. I'm sure as an OBGYN, you have talked to moms and dads about their kids as they've grown up, as you get to know families and parents. This is one of those things that I don't understand the approach of the MAGA regime here in the state of Wisconsin when it's about kids' mental health. Like, why wouldn't we be putting as much money as our budget can possibly bear into kids' mental health? The governor declaring it the year of the kid, and yet, when we look at the cuts that Republicans are proposing to the governor's budget, it feels like they're targeting our kids, not helping them.
I feel like they say one thing and then they do something completely different. They'll say, we care about our kids, and then they'll destroy the budget. This is the year of the kid. That's what Governor Evers said. And he traveled all around the state with lots of leaders and listened to what people had to say and put together this very thoughtful budget. And with the stroke of a pen, the Republicans completely dismantled the budget, brought it back to base. It eliminated all of that incredible work done on behalf of the people. And now here we are with nothing for our kids' mental health. And we know that in this country, mental health is at crisis level. We have the worst mental health that we've ever had documented in this country, especially when it comes to young people. You know, I'm a doctor, but I'm also a mom. I have four sons. And to talk with them and their friends about what they're going through and how we are failing them in so many ways because they can't access the resources that they need. They can't get the medication and the treatment. It's such a profound failure of society. And when our kids can't get what they need, then they don't grow and develop into adults that can continue to be productive members of society. We can't fail our kids. And nobody knows that better than Leah, who will be joining us soon, I hope.
We've got Leah. Leah, can you hear Kristen and I?
I sure can. I hope that you can hear me too.
Oh, yeah, we got you loud and clear now. Thanks so much. Leah, when you look in your Sheboygan community as both a therapist and a member of the school board, what's your opinion? Are students and young people's mental health needs being met?
I think that there are great strides in meeting students' mental health needs, specifically in our area. And I'll tell you, I read a study recently, and 35% of Wisconsin adolescents feel depressed or hopeless every single day. And these kids, if they are feeling depressed and hopeless every day, more than one out of three, what that means is they are not going to school. They do not have hope for their future. So what we are doing as a district is we have an incredible program called the PATH program, Providing Access to Healing. And that program started in 2015, and it is in-school mental health counseling services that are available in several districts across the entire county. So not just the Sheboygan Area School District, but many districts within the county. It's a partnership with United Way, which I think is incredibly important that we have public-private partnerships or just partnerships in general, because the idea of making sure that our kids are served is not just public, it is not just private, it is a community-wide issue. And here, the United Way does a great job at spearheading this particular program. Thousands of therapy sessions are had per year, and our kids are getting served, but there are many that are on wait lists. So there are many kids that maybe are not getting what they need. Or quite frankly, if there are children that are not attending school on a regular basis, they can't access the in-school services because they're not in school. So it's my hope that we can do more work to improve attendance and to get the students what they need so we can get them through those doors.
Yeah. Folks, that's Leah Hibble. She's a licensed clinical therapist and a member of the Sheboygan School Board. She's joining me for today's installment of Broad Appeal, along with my fabulous guest co-host, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who has her own amazing show on WGBW on Saturdays. What time can they find you, Kristen?
3 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. And I might add that Leah was a guest of one of our recent episodes where she and one of the city council members, an incredible child care provider, and the mayor of Sheboygan all came together to talk about how the child care crisis is affecting not only families, but entire communities like Sheboygan, and some of the different ways that they are addressing this issue, some of the different ways that people don't recognize child care is impacting a community. For example, if there's no child care there, people aren't going to move there to start their families, right? So this is why we have to bring in the mayor to talk about the economic advantage of ensuring that we've got all of these resources. And these resources include people like Leah, again, who can add that mental health piece and make sure that when we're not doing well, we've got the people who can help us get back to that point where we can function and actually do good stuff in the world.
There's this, Leah, I wanted to ask you about this relationship between the health of our families, right? And lots of politicians will use the words like, I'm pro-family. And I scoff because if you're pro-family, that means you're pro-childcare. That means you're pro-education. That means you're pro-mental health supports for young people. And for young people to have good, positive mental health, they also need parents with good, positive mental health, which means that we are meeting people's basic needs. Leah, if I know you've written op-eds on this, you've talked about paid parental leave, you've talked about childcare. I looked up some of your work in the Sheboygan Press Gazette. So thank you for being so vocal about these things. Can you talk to us a little bit about, from your vantage point on a school board and as a therapist, the interrelationships that Kristen was tipping her literal hat to, and that we need healthy families, we need healthy parents, we need to invest in these things. And if for no other reason, if you're a rabid capitalist, because we need healthy people showing up to go to work and moving into our communities and avoiding the brain drain that can result. Leah?
Oh, absolutely. I scratch my head on this one too. Because in my work, in being in contact with my legislators and doing advocacy, I get that response that we want to be family centered. We want, I've heard it said, Leah, we want the same things. We just want them done differently. And when you are slashing budgets for things like mental health coverage, when you are doing things like striking paid leave from the budget for, you know, consecutive years, that does not tell me that we are pro-family. That tells me that this is every man for himself. And as much as we want to say that America was founded on the principles of independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that does not come on its own. We need to work together on that. I think about everything that we do as a society, and it is built as part of a collective. And I know some people might have a problem with me saying that. They might say, well, everyone needs to do their part, but a lot of people fail to understand that some people are doing the best that they can, and it is not what we would consider to be our best. But one thing I'll tell you, our legislature, specifically the Republicans, if I can get political, they are not doing the best that they can for their constituents. They are not doing the best they can for families, and they are not doing the best they can for children. I was so thrilled to hear Tony Evers speak the day after he announced that this was the year of the kid. And it pained me to see that there are so many cuts in that budget bill. But one thing I'll tell you, I am so proud of Sheboygan and what we do here, because I feel, you know, Kristen was talking about the earlier show that I was a part of that she hosted, and I talked about how Sheboygan is the city of the four C's, one of them being children. Sheboygan, it's the year of the kid here every year.
I love it.
That is great.
Leah Hybl. It is the year of the kid every year in Sheboygan because of people like Leah Hybl. It's Broad Appeal. It's Wednesday. It's the 4:30 block. I got Dr. Lyerly, and Leah's sticking around for another segment, so you don't go anywhere either. And it is the Scani Summer Text to Win contest via the Civic Media app. Text in the word SUN, S-U-N, to enter to win. All the contest rules available at civicmedia.us. Keep it locked.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Are you living with dry AMD?
If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and has and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire. Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest all across the Civic Media Radio Network every day for this week and next. Do not miss out on your chance to win. Download the Civic Media app, and before the 5 o'clock hour is rung, text in the word sun, S-U-N, to qualify to win. I might even give you a shout out, like Carrie in Wauwatosa, Marion West Alice. Let's see here. Anne Marie from Brookfield. I'm giving the ladies some love this afternoon. Stacy, I see you. Cherie in Madison. I love it because it is broad appeal. I got Dr. Kristen Lyerly running co-pilot with me this afternoon, and our fabulous guest, Leah Hibble, who is on the school board in Sheboygan and is also a licensed clinical therapist specializing in childhood trauma. Leah, we've been giving Sheboygan some love. You told us about the PATH program, that is P-A-T-H, providing access to healing in partnership with United Way, bringing mental health care into schools across the Sheboygan School District. You're very proud of that work. And you said something really important during the break, and that was what is happening in Sheboygan simply isn't happening throughout the state. And I wanted to ask you, Leah, how did you
make that happen in Sheboygan? How did you take this out of a partisan red and blue framework and get people to focus on what our kids actually need and what's best for them?
Thinking specifically about the PASS program, that was a program that was a partnership between United Way and Mental Health America and counseling offices in the area. And instead of siloing and instead of saying, I know what's best here, we should do this, members from each group or from each agency got together and said, this is what's best. This could be what's best for our kids. They need mental health care. They need it in school so that the barriers can be broken. And they work together on that. And I think the most important thing is that everyone has expertise that they can share. And I think in the legislature, we often hear, well, I know what's best. I know what's best. But do they really know what's best for our kids? Do they really know what is best for constituents? When I think about what's best for constituents, first of all, you have to listen to them. You have to understand the problem. And it's the same thing in my work as a therapist. I can't help somebody if I don't have a good understanding of the problem. I can't help someone get through maybe a decade of trauma if I don't understand the root. And that's what so often gets left behind in the state and in the legislature. Here it's different. Here we focus on the problem.
Yeah. You are so right, Leah. And I think what you are saying is you have to listen and then act on what you hear. And we're not seeing that in our leaders. But there in Sheboygan, the Malibu of the Midwest, it's happening. It is. And it means that leaders are actually responding to what their constituents' needs are. And that emphasizes the importance of leadership. How did you come to this role? And what would you recommend for people who are listening right now and thinking, I think I could do that. I'm on board with this.
I thought about I got involved in volunteering for party politics. I'll be transparent. And in that, I got to meet people that were able to help me to uplift my voice. But the reason I wanted to run specifically for school board is because I was able to benefit from a Sheboygan Area School District education, and I was able to see the strengths in it. Like I said earlier, my grandmother worked as an educational assistant in the district for 36 years. She didn't stop working until she was 80 years old. Mm. Why? Because she loved her work with the children, and that influenced my work. And to know that I could be able to influence improving education. I mean, I ran on the tagline, a legacy of learning for a new generation. And that's exactly what I feel I've been able to provide in my role as a school board member.
We're so glad you are doing what you're doing, Leah. Thank you. That is Leah Hibble. She is on the Sheboygan School Board. I've been joined this half hour by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, my frequent guest co-host for Broad Appeal that you can hear every Wednesday at 4:30 on this program. Dr. Lyerly, you love her just as much as I do, maybe even more. You can't get enough. Tune into WGBW, which you can, of course, do on the Civic Media app every Saturday and Sunday. You can find her program starting there at 3 p.m. And as long as you've got that app open and we've got less than 2 minutes left in the half hour, you're going to want to text the word SUN, S-U-N, and get in your last chance in Scotty Summer Text to Win. Darlene from Watertown did. Maureen from Nina. Don't you miss out. The word is SUN, S-U-N. Leah, I want to give you one last chance. We got less than a minute left. What do you want to tell people, especially women out there, who are thinking about getting more involved in politics? What's your message to them?
I would say find people that can uplift you. Find people that believe in you and believe in yourself, and you can do this. You can run and you can make change. Do it. It'll change your life and it'll change the world.
That is Leah Hybl, my inspiration this afternoon. I know yours as well. Leah, I'll keep lifting you up. I know Dr. Lyerly will as well.
Yeah, girl.
Thanks so much, everybody. When we come back, we're going to be joined by another amazing, I'm not going to call her broad, I'm going to call her Madam Ambassador. Ambassador Cynthia Effort, 40 years as a senior foreign service officer, serving our country with dignity, honor, and many, many awards. What does foreign policy mean to you? Ambassador Effort is going to help us understand when we come back. Don't go anywhere. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge temporarily halted Homeland Security from deporting the family of Mohammed Solomon, the suspect charged in the Boulder firebomb attack at a Jewish rally Sunday. ABC's Trevor Ault has details.
Now, federal officials had said once they took this family into custody, they were being processed for an expedited deportation. In fact, we've seen from one member of Congress that he had said that they were going to be deported to Egypt as soon as this week. But now, according to this judge's order, that is on hold, at least temporarily, until there can be some kind of hearing.
Solomon due back in court tomorrow to face additional charges. Authorities say the number of those injured has risen to 15. Debate over the massive budget bill continues in the Senate, but holdout Republicans could delay passage. President Trump also meeting with key lawmakers today, trying to shore up support. And Elon Musk is now calling on Americans to kill the bill. Stocks finished mixed due to tariff concerns.